Hello, everybody. It is Michelle. Today is Thursday, May 12th, 2022. And this is our third and final half-day retreat in our Stories That Sell Now series. And we are going to begin, as we almost always do, in Shavasana, because Shavasana allows us to collect the energy. Shavasana allows us to, whatever else has been happening through your day, it allows us to regather, regroup, and actually be present here together. So as you are already doing, great to have video off for this part so that you can just really go inward, video on for the other parts of the class, of course. Find a comfortable place where you won't be disturbed. If you're in a room where the door closes, great, close the door. And to give yourself space. So if there's papers around you, as are at my place sometimes, you know, like, or furniture or pillows or just stuff in the way, move it away from you. Or if your, you know, feet are bumping up against the wall, move away, because anything close near our hands or our feet, we can sense them as they're nearby, and our body contracts and we want to expand. So take the time to give yourself space. Lying on your back, place support beneath the head and neck so that the chin is at least level with the forehead or lower than the forehead, even better, so the mind can become quiet. When the chin is up, the mind is busy. When the chin is down, the mind becomes quiet. Bend the knees, lift the buttocks, and take the flesh of the heels toward the feet. Then as you lower the buttocks down to the floor, just feel the length of the low back. Often we have that sway over arch in the low back. You want to feel length in the low back so the low back is comfortable. Then slide one heel along the floor and then the other to extend the legs. All of these little things, it's the little nuanced things that make a difference. If we lift the leg and plunk it down, it's not as extended as when we slide the heel along the floor and then let it go. So if you lifted it and plunked it down, start over again, lift the buttocks, extend the low back, extend one leg out and then the other, sliding the heel along the floor, and then release the baby toes to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. The legs are a comfortable distance apart. The arms about 30 degrees away from the body. And actually, before we let the arms rest, bend the elbows, dig the elbows into the floor and lift and open the heart center, so that the heart is both literally and figuratively open. We actually open our hearts. And then release the arms to the earth. If you need to adjust that support beneath your head, and if you really open the chest, you probably need to, then without disturbing that configuration of the chest and shoulders, just kind of reach your hands, pull that support so it touches the shoulders again, and then release the arms to the earth. Palms face up. Shavasana. Just let go. Softly closing the eyes if you haven't already. And then behind closed eyes, just scan the body for any tension. Where have you been holding on today? Is it the throat? The shoulders? Back of the scalp, the hips, calves. Breathe into that spot, wherever you find that tightness, where you're holding on, where you're leaking energy from holding on. Breathe into that spot and let that tension go. And as you do that, find that next spot of tension and then the next, scanning the body, releasing and relaxing, moving deeper and deeper into that space of ease, a space of softness in the body, that space of deep relaxation as the muscles release. And in this quiet place, simply watch the breath. Be curious about the breath with the curiosity of a child. What's this breath like today? Don't assume that you know your own breath. Each breath is different. What's this breath here and now? Watch the breath. Is the breath deep or shallow? Just notice without judgment. Is it ragged or smooth? Are you breathing into more into one side, one lung than the other? Just notice. Are you breathing high in the chest or low in the belly? Again, without needing to change anything, just pay attention, see what is. Watch the breath. Often as we become conscious of the breath, notice the difference, not forcing the breath to change, but simply out of pure consciousness. Often the breath starts to change of its own accord. Notice the difference between that forcing, my breath must be so I can be good. And instead of that, watching the breath. And through that observation, just noticing if it changes in any way, by the power of observation. Unglue your tongue from the roof of the mouth. If it's there, relax the tongue. Soften the lips. Let the teeth be slightly parted. Watch the breath. Notice how you can be nourished and renewed simply by breathing and being aware. A sense of restoration, sense of renewal. And then letting go of Shavasana just as easily as you came into it, no holding on. Know that soon we'll be coming out of Shavasana and soon you will move. It starts just with a thought, not needing to react to the thought. Just a thought, soon I'm going to move, still here. Separating out thought and reaction. Allow the breath to deepen. Start to wiggle the fingers and toes. Bring movement back to the body. And slowly bend your knees. And roll onto the right side. Support your head with your upper arm. And wait. Be here. Know the beauty of this in-between place. And then softly opening the eyes, gaze towards the floor or carpet. And keeping your gaze there, Use the hands to gently, slowly press yourself up to sitting. And keeping that same quiet energy, return to our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever possible. It trains that one pointed attention so we can be present together for our afternoon. Hi, Dawn. Welcome back. Hello. All right. We train our minds to focus on what we love. Our world actually becomes more and more of what we love when we train our focus there again and again and again. In this practice of Shavasana, and it's not a rote experience. I love that, check done. What did I actually love in this practice today? Who would like to go first? Diane, thank you.
I think I almost fell asleep. Well, I could feel my body just completely relaxing and I was yawning all the way through it. It just felt so nice.
So good. And you know, Shavasana can give us information rapidly. We can go through an entire day, not know that there's fatigue there because we just power through like the Energizer Bunny. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're exhausted or we hit the wall or we start yelling at somebody or we start despairing or whatever it is. And we haven't even noticed this happened. And in a few minutes in Shavasana, you start to fall asleep. Mr. Iyengar, who is, you know, my yoga teacher, he was a very fierce teacher. But he used to pass down to all of his teachers, students fall asleep in Shavasana, let them sleep. They need the sleep. So to access that information and to actually give the cells what they're asking for, even if only for a few minutes, a profound shift happens. And we start a deeper level of self-care and how can we care for another for not caring for ourselves. And it's happened to me countless times too. So it's like... Good knowing, beautiful Diane. And that's also, we want that, like that delicious feeling of, oh, it's so good. We don't have to do like push ourselves to do it. It's like, oh, right, I'm craving that. It's a good kind of craving, you know? One of my yoga teachers said, she didn't seem like somebody who could ever have smoked. Just like, I don't know what, how you think of that, but it's like, that is not a person who smokes. Like maybe that's judgmental or, you know, wrong thinking or whatever, right? But she used to smoke and she said, you know, she'd been doing yoga for 25 or 3 years. She says, oh yeah, when I started doing yoga, I just quit. But she didn't try to quit. It just fell away. It was like not important anymore. It was just not the thing anymore. And instead, just a more aligned version of herself and who she wanted to be happened. And whether it's, you know, and it became, instead of that craving, a positive craving for Shavasana, for rest, for alignment. So Diane, beautiful. Thank you. Love that. Let's hear at least one more. What did you love? Heidi, thank you.
Two main things. One was when you suggested that we breathe deeply. There was like a sense of surprise, like, oh, I can do that. I can do it differently. I can breathe more deeply right now. And so I did, and I noticed, oh, and it feels really good to do that. And so it was, oh, I can do it. And then when I do it, it feels really good. And that both of those things were pleasurable in the moment. And the other thought that was recurring just because of the timing today was a tree arrived. I had I had selected a tree and they were going to deliver it today. It's a baby tree, but it's still not too young because when I've done that before and the tree is too young and then it dies because it needs more support. So this tree was a baby tree, but not such a newborn baby. And so I picked it out and they delivered it today. And when they took it off the truck, I felt like I was welcoming a new friend or a new baby. And now it's in the backyard until he comes back to dig a hole to make it big enough to be safe for the tree. And I was just thinking about my new baby tree in the backyard while I was resting. So that felt really good.
Heidi, that's so good. And I got to tell you, from our private session last week, it's just, you know, there's all like, our stories are always rooted. And then let me just say this so everybody can understand it and you'll hear it. Like, where do we pick up our client? How early on are they? Are we sometimes picking them up too early on? Oh my God.
That was the conversation. Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
No wonder you love this tree. No wonder this tree came up in Shavasana.
The tree profound. Is ready for me. The tree was ready for me.
Exactly. Because we had a profound conversation about that last week, right?
Yes.
Don't pick them up over here. That's exhausting. Pick them up here instead. And that is world changing. And we can decide that we want to run over here, do low ticket, you know, go sell widgets instead, change who we're, you know, change our profession or whatever it is. And it's simply a matter of having a tree that's far enough along. No wonder this came up in Shavasana. The practice is more profound than we know. And what comes up inside of us has more wisdom for us than we know.
I'm crying at that. It's mind-boggling that we're talking about the tree was so perfect about a week, what happened a week ago about
of course
business. What?
Our stories are rooted. Our stories come up for a reason. We trust them. And then when we also learn how to craft them, like the power that we gain is phenomenal. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. And the piece about the breath, and I can do that. Oh, you know what? So it's like, oh, you had a moment where here's a new thing and it can go deeper and I can do that. That's related to what we were talking about last week too, by the way. There are no accidents. So beautiful. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be shared? Good. Okay. Let me get over to my, excuse me. Oh, by the way, one of my announcements is not officially on the announcements, but hang on. I am still coughing sometimes, but my big announcement is I'm feeling so much better week by week. I just wanted to share that with you. It's been a journey. It's been 3 weeks for me. It's just everybody's journey is different. You know? I just feel so, so good. So not 100%. You may see me coughing sometimes, but it just feels good to feel good, you know? And a big part of what has been returning me to that health too is exactly this practice. I've been doing a whole lot of Shavasana, you know? So really, really, really restorative to our souls, right? All right. Not officially in the announcements, but I just couldn't help tell you. All right. Where's my announcements? Let me find them. Story Freedom next week, of course. It's May 17th to 19th. I sure hope everybody in the room is already registered. If you're not, please go to storyfreedomlive.com and at the checkout link, make sure you enter the promo code SF2002 GIFT, all one word. And make sure you click apply. Check and see that the total has gone to zero. There's no way we can do it without you putting your credit card in, but as long as the total is zero, your card won't get charged. It's just the way the system works, all right? So make sure that you are registered so I know you're coming, so you're in my thoughts as I'm constructing everything for next week, all right? Program updates coming soon. We've been telling you this, that so much has been shifting and changing for me and for the next level of the company. So we have a new way of working together starting in June, and can't wait to see you on today, of course, for this afternoon, tomorrow for our Story Freedom pre-call. And I'm not sure that I got that into the announcements. No, but it is. So let me just double check, make sure I'm giving you the right time. Let me see. Hang on. It is tomorrow. Friday at 12:30 Mountain Time for 75 minutes. All right. So we'll see you tomorrow for you to get the most out of Story Freedom. You're not going to want to miss this call. So we'll see you tomorrow and then see you deep dive for 3 days next week. And then whole new level. It's the biggest up level in our community since this community began in 2010. I would say biggest level up level in my company since I left teaching university in 2007. And, you know, let me see. I want to be able to see you all. Some of you have been around here a while. Like Yvonne Marie, have you heard me say that before? The biggest up level since 2010, since 2007. I don't throw around words I don't mean. I've never said that. They have been around for years. I have never said that. All right. So super excited for what's to come with us and for you. So a monthly mastermind for those in the year long will be hosted by Yvonne Wednesday, June 8th, 2 p.m. An email with a survey will be sent out saying, make sure that you fill in the survey. That's how you get the chance to come to that call. And the survey just helps you with like, am I actually on track with what I want in my life? It's designed to serve you. So it's a double service for you. And then others, again, in the year long, 30 minute calls with Marie, to eligible for about once a month, and the link we send you in lots of different ways. And I think that's it for announcements for today. So any questions about announcements that, oopsie, I just went to grab the wrong page. Instead of seeing you, I'm seeing like team announcements. So like, there you are again. Any questions about announcements? All clear? Good to go? Okay, fantastic. So I would love to hear some wins. We have been doing so much with Story in the last couple of weeks. And this is my third time teaching. I mean, I've been teaching, you know, this about stories for, I often say over 25 years because it's a habit, but it's, you know, over 30 years now. Right? You'll still hear me say over 25 years, a long, long time. And I've been teaching stories that still know three times around. And this is by far, you know, you guys have just blown it out of the water. Such fabulous work. It's by far my favorite stories that sell now ever because of the way you've been playing. So we've done a lot in your own story, and there are always wins that are happening. I would love to hear one or two of them, whether it's something that you consciously know about story, it's about story or not. Heidi had no idea there was a story around her feet. Oh, she just knew that it moved her. So what's your, oh, issues. Okay, thank you, Yvonne. Let me try taking this off. For some reason, this has not been always working these days. So is that better? Okay, thank you for letting us know. Okay, it was happening for some people, not for others, I guess. So now you can hear me. Thank you for letting me know. All right, so wins. I would love to hear some wins. What's rolling for you now? What would you like to share? Sharing wins is a powerful practice. It's saying, hey, universe, you sent me great stuff. Send me more, and I have witnesses to it, and I'm really grateful for it. Beautiful practice. Who's the one to share? If you're not sure what it is, go ahead and raise your hand and he'll come to you when you raise your hand. Heidi, thank you. Thank you for trusting.
Well, I'm still recovering from the tree story. And it's related to the tree. My win is related to that because the huge win even this week was the shift in who am I in service to. And I felt that the win was that I was trusting my energy around it to tell me that way, not this way. And to realize it wasn't about judgment or anything other than what am I drawn to? And to honor that peace and really listen. And then to trust the process because it was a change and it was a reorienting. And I got into a bit of confusion and I said, oh, what's the confusion? What's that telling me? Give it time. And then talking with someone in the struggle and she said one word and it was based, Michelle, after you and I had spoken, and all of a sudden I said, well, but it feels so heavy and I don't want to stay in the heavy. And, you know, and it was like, well, what she said is, what could you talk about that would keep you in that energy that you experienced with this thing that lit you up? And all of a sudden the words were flowing.
Mm.
And it was, oh, I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. And the dam opened.
Heidi, so. Brilliant and beautiful. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And, you know, there is nothing extra that we do either in this course or all year long. There's nothing extra. And there are deeper and deeper layers of what we do. I mean, I remember, Marie, you and I did a VIP day years ago on the ideal listener. I still remember. And it was many years ago. We had already done a ton of work around that. And then you do a deep dive and it's like, oh, that. And Heidi, what you're saying is like, you've heard me say, know your ideal client the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. Okay, got that. Here's my ideal client. Check what's next, Michelle. Oh, what's the next level of it? And what else opens up in my life? And our editors will take all kinds of that voice inside that doesn't help us. We'll take all kinds of excuses to have us not do the work. I mean, work in the best sense of the word, of the work that we do together in this community. So it's like, oh, wait, no, not that, didn't work. So I'm going to go this way. It's like, well, no, wait, it's that work. It's like, who is my ideal client? Go deeper. And then with the amazing results and the amazing, I love the process that you went through too with this, Heidi, because it's a profound shift in you, who you are in your life. No wonder you have a newborn baby tree, because that is about your client. That's also about you. Because you are that. You are like anew. You are new. As all has shifted and changed from this one crucial piece of what we do. And you owning it and finding it for yourself and running with it. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing. All right. Let's hear one more win. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that, Yvonne. In the chat, just the date and time, and there's a reminder in your inbox about the call tomorrow. Thank you. Awesome. All right. Let's hear one more win. Who has a win they'd like to share? Anna Maria, that your hand leapt up. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. That was so beautiful, Heidi. I do strive to be able to have that depth of thought in me too. I love that. My win was I was working on my stories. I think I was fighting a little bit with my editor many times, but I persisted and I think I won. but I was just trying to get just sure that I was telling the right stories. But then I was realizing, okay, you don't have to tell the right stories, not yet. There's many multiple levels of stories that I have to be able to come, that have to be able to come out from my heart and from my
soul. Anna Maria, I've got chills. Again, how you're, like what I was saying to Heidi, I want to say to you too, how you're moving through this and the realizations about how story actually works and stuff. I got to nail it. Remember that process versus product, you know? I got to nail it. I got to get it right. Oh no. There's multiple stories, and then the courage you showed, right, in continuing and continuing your persistence, and that you're going to see has paid off. Because Anna Maria, I reached out to her before class. It's like, can we dive into your story, your U-shaped story today? It will help everybody. And thank you for being in service in that way, Anna Maria. Because she's like, immediately, yes, of course, thank you. You know, so we're going to see both the fruit of that fabulous work that you did on your story. And then we're going to see, you know, how to also take that to that next level story, right? So it's a process. It's like we saw with Heidi, it's a process. So fantastic work, Anna Maria. I'm so happy for you. So proud of you. Well done. Well done. All right. Anything else bubbling up, wanting to be shared? Good to go? Okay, perfect. So let me see here. All right. I want to spend a few minutes just going over, we're not going to repeat what we did in an entire day, two half days, in a couple of minutes, clearly. I refer you to those calls. And if you go back, if you were there live and you go back and re-listen to it, you're going to hear more there. We did some amazing work in these last two calls, but I just want to kind of touch on a couple things to remind you of some places where we've been to kind of gather the energy for where we're going to go next. So a couple weeks ago, just even a walk through the handouts, right? 25 stories. And I keep thinking about Marnie. It's not 25 stories. It's 25 categories of stories that I have now, right? You have an infinite number of stories. And you could see the results of that as Anna Maria said, oh, right. I just don't have one story. So the ease that that brings to you, I can add that level from call one and now call three. Oh, in knowing that, it also can bring ease. There's multiple stories. And then from last week, it's a process, right? And also the other handout, where have I got it written down here? Oh yeah, seven surprising sources for stories. Remember that handout? You have access to so many stories and so many sources for stories. And then we did some profound work in that week one. Having that, you know, list of infinite stories that you've got, many, many stories, you can match the story with a powerful theme. And the really key piece for that, from that training for me, like we were hands-on with stories in week one, man, don't miss it. If you were there, even if you were there, go back and listen to it again. There's a lot about story that will help you there. If you missed it, make sure you catch it. So, to me, why one of the reasons that's so powerful is that we tend to think, well, here's a story and innately it has this theme. And we do that with our lives too. Well, this person beat up on me in grade 5, and ever since then, X has happened, and that's inevitable. And we think that our stories are just facts somehow. That's a fact of my life, this happened, and then all these things, bad things happened because. But we don't know that we're actually making that meaning all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. We can take a story and match it up with this theme. We get to choose. It's a profound and deep level teaching of what I teach in Anatomy of an Empowering Story. Stories are everywhere. There are empowering, disempowering stories, and you really can choose. And we talked about and showed how to do that in week one. And then last week, I gave you three handouts. We looked at some of them briefly in class, but those are ones that you can go and read and reread. There's a lot to that. And I think I showed you that just, you know, one part of one sentence on one of the handouts, we spent an hour on or whatever was last time, you know, like each sentence, there's a lot more to it, right? So the five guiding principles, what it is that we're actually doing through this this whole series, how to tell the right story, and then the U-shaped story. And so those are, I just want to point you to those resources. If you have seen those resources, raise your hand. You know they exist, you've spent some time with them. Okay, fantastic. And if you're not sure, they're all over there in Story Freedom Academy. Make sure you gain access to them and you can continue to use them as resources. The more you know about story, the more you're gonna see why each line of that matters so much, right? So then some other things that we did last week, I gave you like a crash course on writing. Taught half year or even really year-long courses on this at university. And I think we did this in 20 minutes last time. So know that each piece has more to it, just like Heidi's, oh, ideal client. Oh, that changes my whole life, understanding those words differently, right? Every piece has more to it. But just touching on some of the things that we talked about last time, and we've seen the results here about process versus product. Both Heidi and Anna Maria, we watched them letting go of the final product and going with the process, going with the creation of it and falling in love with that. When we do that, we get a much better product anyway. We have to let go of that attachment to that final end and fall in love with the stories as they're being born and as they're being created. Planning, drafting, and revising, and how those different stages work and how they're not just linear. We go back again and how they all work. And purpose in the audience, we've been touching on that in different ways all throughout this series. So a couple of key things about writing. And then how to craft your story so that you'll actually be heard. Plot, right? Plot is huge. Like what's the basics of, you know, story structure in what happens? And I summarize it something like this, because I think this offhand way is sometimes an easy way to remember. Something happens to somebody. Right? So somebody wants something. It starts with somebody wants something, right? Somebody wants something. Something's in the way. There's an obstacle in the way. It gets worse and worse until it comes to a crisis or a moment of decision. They have to decide. And at that point, they grow. Something changes. Something moves. They move into a new world, right? So that's how to say it in everyday language. And And then other ways to put it, there's a, in technical story terms, there's a protagonist, you have desire, there's an obstacle, there's a crisis and a decision, and then there's a result. And I taught you a deeper dive than I sometimes do about story when I teach train about story, because you guys were getting it. So I just wanted you to hear this part. You might not use it too much at first, but the deeper you go into story, the more you'll understand this piece. If you don't get this piece, don't worry about it. But we talked about irreconcilable goods, right? That Robert McKee talks about that. It's like, oh, it's like, no, when I say they make a decision, it's not like, wow, should I go, you know, kill the bad guy, or should I sit on my couch? I'm the hero. What will I do? I think I'll go kill the bad guy. You know, it's like you're all bored in 10 seconds, even though that's a plot of many stories. But that decision point is a real one. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a real one. I have to decide. And if this doesn't seem applicable to, like, so what, Michelle? Why does this matter to my business? A strategy session comes to a decision point, for example. What does that decision point feel like for that person? It feels usually like irreconcilable goods. It's one way to think about that, how that's used. I can have my security, and I can have who I think I am and how the world is. And even though I don't like it perfectly, it makes me feel comfortable and I feel the ground beneath me. Or I can go over there and I'm scared and I don't know what's going to happen over there. And what if my world falls apart? But you know, you can kind of feel a kind of irreconcilable goods. Like I can't do both and I have to choose. So as we understand that about story, just even that moment where we're helping somebody make a decision, that's a place where that comes up. So we've talked about plot and how stories work. And then we talked about an application. We've done a lot. We talked about one application of, you know, somebody wants something, something's in the way, right? That's the U-shaped story. And that U-shaped story is a really nice story shape to learn about. I named it the U-shaped story because that's the, you know, that's the shape it takes. And I also like that double meaning of it. It's a U-shaped story, Y-O-U as well. It's your story. You can articulate your story and we can use that story in many ways. But in our businesses, it's like, this is why I created the business. And you can do this too. And it's the shape of testimonials as well, right? Oh, it's good now, but it used to be awful. Let me tell you what happened. I did this thing and that changed everything. And now I'm here. And people want that for themselves as well, right? So U-shaped story is a really powerful way of just mixing up the elements of the plot and telling this a story in a particular way, right? So that people can really hear it. And all the way along, as we've been doing this work, we've been tracking on, oh, for instance, if a story has a theme, we listen. If it doesn't have a theme, our attention starts to wander right away. If the story has a real decision, we pay attention. In 10 seconds, I told you the plot of umpteen movies, but you weren't interested because it didn't have a real choice in it. Every single piece of this matters, and also want to add to it, it gets felt right in the body. And stories are powerful because, you know, we can tell somebody something. This doesn't come up, but let's say it did. Let's say I really wanted my daughter to wear a mask because she's going somewhere and I'm afraid to get sick, for instance, something like that, right? She was talking to me about masks the other day. That's why that popped into my mind. Let's say it really mattered to me. It doesn't, but let's say it really mattered. I just had COVID, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter for me anyway, right? You know? Let's say it really mattered to me that she wore a mask outside today. Well, if I just say, Dana, wear a mask outside because, like, why would she listen? She's going to be 23 in a few days. Like, why would she listen to me, right? What if I tell a story? It goes right into somebody's body and it connects us and we understand. You know, and that could be a U-shaped story. Let me try that one. Can I try that one? Because I think Marnie, you gave me the challenge of telling a story about COVID last week. It's on my mind since I've had it for 3 weeks, right? So I tell a story about COVID. So, and I'm going to make up the details. These might or might not be true, maybe fact and fiction mixed in, but so I can make up a story here about COVID in a U-shaped story. So I wasn't planning to do this. So let's see how this works. And let's see if to the point was, you know, Dana, let's put on your mask, okay? Outside. I don't even believe that. I don't care. Outside here, we don't. Let's say that's what I wanted. So, let me see. It's hard to do that because I don't, like, I actually don't believe it, but let's see if I can do it anyway, for illustration's sake. So Dana, you know, today I feel good about COVID. I've actually recovered from it. I'm almost all the way recovered. I feel like I've been on the journey in this thing that we're so frightened of, like for the last couple of years, I've been there now. And so I feel good. See, that's that good now. See how the shape of it already can feel the U-shaped story, but it wasn't always this way. Dana, I used to walk outside and I would get so, some people feel like this. I'd get so frightened when I even came anyone near me. I'd be terrified. If somebody wanted to ask me for directions, I wanted to run in the opposite direction because at any moment I could get sick and I was scared about what might happen if I got sick. How would I teach? How would I train? How would I live my life? Are you, if you're feeling it right now, and I'm making this up on the spot, it's because it's a U-shaped story, right? But then Dana, I realized that I don't have to live in that fearful way. I started wearing a mask outside and I just felt better because I knew that that thing that, you know, was we were terrified about for grandma and grandpa. I knew that that thing is a personal story and we shape it for that person too, right? That we were afraid of for grandma and grandpa. And that I knew that that thing that, you know, my friend and her husband nearly died of it. And that thing that I was so frightened of. And I started wearing a mask outside and I realized it wasn't that hard. And I was so worried that it was going to be a real inconvenience. I was worried I wouldn't have the right mask around, but I put it on and I just felt so much better. I know you don't like wearing a mask, but it made me feel so much better. And I would love it if you would wear one for me too. It's a little adaptation of the U-shaped story. Because I would just feel safer. And especially, and again, I'm making it up. My story might not all hang together right now, right? But especially now that I've had COVID, I really, if you just could this afternoon, because I've got such and such important thing coming up. And I know that, you do anything for me. And I just, this one thing, it would make a big difference. Would you please do that for me? Because then I'll feel comfortable this afternoon. I'll feel better. Like, can you see it? I didn't even get it perfectly. But rather than Dana go wear a mask, she's like, much, much bigger chance that she's going to listen to me, even with a not very well told U-shaped story that I wasn't planning to tell. So the power of the U-shaped story. And then a bit of home play that I gave you last time. Where do you most want to use your story and why? So hopefully you have that at hand. We'll play with that hopefully toward the end of our call today. Did you remember to do that? Some of you, I'm seeing some yeses this time. Yay. Okay. So, you know, have that at hand. And if we haven't got there by 3:30 mountain time, somebody remind me that I said I would do that. All right. So I want to make sure that we leave some time for playing with that story. And then I also said, you know, if you bring your U-shaped stories to class, we can workshop them, workshop these stories. And Anna Maria has give me access to her U-shaped story. And I'm so excited about that because we're going to dive into that to show you how it works on the court in just a little while. All right. So there's some of the places we've been. Jot down your biggest aha. It's just a whirlwind tour. It's not like an entire day's worth. It just reminds you of some of the pieces we've done. What's the opening for you now? Jot down a couple of your biggest ahas so we have room and space to go further. Oh, and I can't help adding, Heidi added, and yes, welcome, Deborah. This Heidi added, the story shows us the essence of that person as demonstrated by the decision they choose. We talked about that too. We talked about more things than I said, but plot is really about character. So thank you for that other piece that we talked about. It's huge. Who is that person? And that's what we care about. Sometimes because we want to be like them or we don't want to be like them, right? Maybe it's tragedy. But in business, often we want to be like them. Jot down your biggest ahas. Take just a minute to do that. All right, and finishing up that last thought, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. And let's just hear one or two of these ahas, just very briefly, because I want to know what's opening for you. I want to know what you hear as important for you in this moment. Helps me know what's going on for you. Helps me know where you are. So let's hear one or two ahas, just briefly. We're only going to spend 1 minute here. Who'd like to share? Could be something on your page, could be something bubbling up inside you right now. Yeah, Heidi, thank you. And then Diane.
When you were summing up, Michelle, if a story has a theme, we listen. If a story has a decision or real choice, we listen. And that felt, I wrote that down because it's very important to me. What will make someone listen?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming back to that. And I've not ever said it like that before that I can remember. That's the best articulation that I've, and you pulled it out. So thank you for underlining that. It's exactly true. If a story has a theme, we listen. If a story has a clear decision, we listen. And with the, you know, other side of that, if they don't, we won't. We don't mean for it to be that way, but we watched it happen, that how attention would rise and then where attention fell off. And when we can see that happening real time on the court, then we know, and again, it's a process, like, okay, I gotta get it perfect. No, if people are starting to lose attention, we pull it back. Maybe we're missing the theme. We haven't got a clear decision and we can revise our stories in the way that we talked about, plan, draft, revise, right? Thank you, Heidi. Beautiful. Story has a theme, we listen. If story has a decision, we listen. Yes. What gets people to listen? Thank you. Let's hear one more aha. Tells me that you're tracking on this. You got it. Yeah. Oh, Diane, it was yours. Yes. Thank you.
That's fine. I was just going through the process versus the product. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, as we're working through the process, we're also getting insights and learnings about ourselves and shifting.
Oh, yes, we are. And thank you for underlining that, because it's not one of the it's crucial, but it's not one of the pieces that I underlined in my whirlwind tour of some of the places we've been in the last couple of weeks. It's huge. Because even in that, process versus product, we might find out, oh, I've been attached to the product all the way along. Why is it that I'm attached to that product? What is it? What is it of scarcity in me? What is it of needing to rush to the end? What is it of wanting certainty? And maybe maybe even needing control. It could be different things, because maybe I felt like as a kid, I didn't have control. So I've got to control this, or I won't take the step forward unless I've got it certain. Like that alone, understanding what's happening, if we're attached to the product instead of falling in love with the process, that teaches us about who we are, teaches us about ourselves. And as we do that, it's like more and more of living in big self, more and more of seeing who that person is, more and more of being able to articulate that and see how that's connected with the company that we own and are building, and then getting our message out there. That's really powerful stuff. Beautiful. Thank you, Diane. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? One last going once, going twice. All right. Beautiful. Thank you. This tells me you're tracking really good. And also not just tracking, but taking it up for yourself. Beautiful. All right. I wanted to add just a couple of pieces, build on some of the things we've done. And also just because I make some promises about what we're doing in this class, and I want to fulfill on it, but it's going to take 1 minute to fulfill on one piece of it, because we've already done it. I just want to bring the threads together, right? Why is it that most entrepreneurs fail to connect their story with their larger purpose? One of the things I said we'd address in this course, right? Why, if I think we went through, it's up on our page that describes the course. Some of you might not even have seen that page, but you might not remember that I made that promise, but I want to fulfill it whether they remember or not. Why do most entrepreneurs fail to connect their story with their larger purpose? Here's three reasons that I can think of that happen over and over again. They don't know the purpose. I mean, we think we do, but we actually don't know. If we don't know, we can't articulate it and stay on it. That's the first thing. The second thing that happens, we get lost in the details of the story. maybe I want to tell the story about Dana and why she should wear a mask. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking about Dana and I've got to tell you, she was wearing this really cute sweater. She went out the door today and I'm just so happy to see her smiling. She worked out yesterday. I'm like, wait, that doesn't have to do with the story, but I'm caught up because it's my daughter, or I'm caught up because it's something that I care about, or it's caught up because it's something I really believe in. And the thing I'm saying is close to some other thing that I believe in. So I go over there and I forget and I lose track of the purpose because I get lost in the details of the story. And I did that on purpose because I returned to the theme of that point number two. And probably your body went, right, that's what she's talking about. She's talking about getting lost in the details of the story. And now I feel good because she returned to that theme and I know what she's talking about. It's that thing and not something else. So probably as I return to that, if you pay attention to what just happened in your body, you probably, your body probably went, oh yes, right, I feel good. It's okay, I'm breathing better. Because I circled back around to land where I was, right? So number one, don't, you know, what I'm answering to is, why most entrepreneurs fail to connect their story with their larger purpose. One, they don't know the purpose. Two, they get lost in the details of the story. And three, thinking the story can say more than one thing. And we saw this multiple times. We saw this with me. I think of it again with Marnie when she wanted to say something else at the same time. She wanted to say, love hurts, but it's worth it because it's part of what Marnie believes. I believe the way that was that theme was popping out or trying to pop out on class one. She didn't want to just say love hurts. She wants to say, but it's worth it. So she's trying to create a story that says love hurts. It wanders over to love is worth it. And then we lose attention, even though we might actually, as a collective group, land more on the side of love is worth it than love hurts. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe. But we listen to her more when she's saying even the opposite of what we believe because it's on point, on theme. So that's why we often don't connect our story with our larger purpose. And then what to do about it? Well, know the purpose. Don't get lost in the details of the story. If you have, bring it back. Know that the story can only say one thing. And that's hard for us because we have so much we want to share. Oh, but there's this and there's that and there's that. And we want to give more. There's such heart-centered people in the room. Like, let me tell you this too and that too and that too because maybe that'll help you too. And people can't hear. And also, don't worry about it when these happen, right? It's gonna happen. You'll watch it happening to me. I've been working with story for over 30 years, right? It's okay, because you can bring it back to the center. When you know what's going on with story, it's okay. It's a process, not a product, right? It's not some script that we memorize. It's real life, real connections, real people. All right. Making sense with that one? Good. All right. Then next piece that I wanted to give you, I just wanted to, because it was a crash course on writing, but I gave you the most important things. If you just take that and run with it, you can go so far. But I wanted to give you a little bit more about, I just wanted to empower you and let you know much more about writing than you think. And this is something that I learned from a beautiful teacher of writing named Natalie Goldberg. And I think this is in Wild Mind. I don't think it's in Writing Down the Bones. I think this one's in Wild Mind. She's got some beautiful books on writing for writers. And so you know more about writing than you think. Because sometimes you go like, oh, but I don't know. And it's not my field. And what do I know about words? I'm not hearing that disempowerment in this room right now. But we have moments like that. Oh, wait, maybe I didn't choose the right word. Oh, wait, I don't know how to do the story, whatever, right? So this is an antidote to that. So I would love for somebody to volunteer, because we're going to play a little bit and let you know how much you know about writing. And I want you to tell me about something that you're just really good at. So who's willing to play just for a couple of minutes with me? And it will help the whole class understand, you know, all of us together understand why you know more about writing than you think. So who's willing to play just for a couple of minutes and tell me a little bit about something you are really good at, something you love? Who wants to dive in? It could be anything. It could be, yeah, thanks, Heidi. It could be making coffee. It could be, I don't know, doing Tai Chi. It could be grocery shopping. I don't know, something. It could be your favorite hobby. It could be anything. So Heidi, what's something that you're good at?
Oh, this is the hard part.
Yes, don't think too hard. It could be like scrambling eggs. I don't care.
Making coffee.
Making coffee. Let's go.
I love it. I'm great at that.
Go for it. All right. Okay. So when you know deeply about one thing, you know deeply about something else, you could transfer that excellence. Mm. So you might go like, I don't know anything about writing. What am I even supposed to do? What do I start with? Well, tell me, just start to tell me things about making coffee. What are you going to do to make coffee?
Well, I'm especially good at using the coffee maker with the pods.
Mm. Okay, well, tell us more.
Well, you actually have a choice with those. You can buy them ready-made, or you can buy the reusable pod that you fill with your own coffee, which is certainly friendlier to the environment. So you have a choice in using the machine.
Okay, good. And so let's say I'm, you know, from planet X and I have no idea how to make coffee and I feel super disempowered about making coffee. I haven't got the faintest clue where to start. And I go, Heidi, I will never be able to make coffee. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond me. What would you tell me? Actually, really, what would you tell me? Like, I can't make coffee, Heidi.
Michelle, it's easier to make coffee than you think. So the first thing to do is take a deep breath and relax and tell yourself that this is fun. And get ready to learn a new skill.
Okay.
And also, before we even get to the machine, one of the really fun parts is choosing the coffee that you're going to drink. What is your favorite? And you get to think about what do you like? And there's such a variety. So what do you like, and what are the stores or the resources that you can get the exact coffee that you want?
Okay. I like dark coffee.
You like, that's great. So do you like it from a particular country?
I like French coffee. I like some other coffee too. I like coffee from different places. French comes up because it's nice and dark.
Perfect. And okay. Do you like it plain, or do you like flavor added to it?
Oh, I like it. I not usually flavor, but I like black coffee sometimes with cream. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to stop you there for a second.
Okay.
You know about making coffee, right? Oh, wait, hang on. But Heidi, there's so many choices and I don't know like which one. Well, you already just answered that, didn't you? Yeah, what do you love, right? So Heidi, if you know about making coffee, you know all about writing. Let me see if I can remember what you just said. You can replay it if you're listening to the recording, right? To know about coffee, you know about writing. Writing, it's easier than you think. Take a deep breath, relax. It's even fun. And you can learn a new skill while you're at it, right? And there's so many, sometimes it feels like that there's so many different ways to do it. It is overwhelming. But start with what you love, what draws you in. That's a great place to begin. If you get that who in here is good at something? You know how to make coffee or something, raise your hand. Anything. If anybody didn't raise their hand, I would go like, what's going on with your editor right now? Thank you. If you're good at something, you know more about writing than you know. Think about that thing. Go over there. Don't think about writing for a bit. Think about what people would ask you about that. Think about their questions. Go back to the writing and you'll have some profound answers for yourself. Jot down your biggest aha. All right, finishing up that thought. I know that was just a moment. It's just a place to have a breath, make some space. I'd like to hear one or two ahas about you and your relationship to writing. Dawn.
keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
That is a relief that there's one theme, one decision, one point to stick to. And I think about yours, your signature talk, or if it is, I don't know, but I know that I know it already. And that is, stories are everywhere. And I can go through
it. Exactly.
It's the same with my signature talk that I was working on, and working on, is that the most important relationship we have is the one we have with ourselves. A lot can be said about it, but stick to that one point. It's very, it really helps me to think of it in that simple way.
Beautiful, Dawn. Thank you. A talk tells a story. And when people are listening to my talk, usually they're thinking that the stories are the stories that I'm telling interspersed through the talk. But really, that whole talk, I'm telling a story about stories. And the main point that I'm making about stories is that stories are everywhere. And when people understand that, and backwards, upside down, forwards, like, that is the point that I'm going to end up making. And when they just hear that one thing, sometimes we try to do everything and people can't hear anything. We just do one thing. Yes, keep it simple. We just do one thing. They can hear it. Beautiful. Thank you. Let's hear one more aha. You already know a lot about writing. A beautiful exercise. If you can make coffee and you know how to do it, you can know more than you thought you knew about writing. Let's hear one more aha. Yeah, Heidi, thank you.
I think that that works because it's about self-expression, and everything we do is self-expression. So how we write is how we make coffee, and how we make coffee is how we write. Because it reflects everything. I bring all of myself into that moment of making the coffee, and all of myself into writing the writing, and all of myself into anything. So the guidance that whatever you're good at, you're also good at the writing, makes sense.
I love it. And I love the way you've tied that to, I bring all of myself to, when we can access that big self, truly, actually, what we have the capacity to do and to transform in our lives and to make possible is astonishing, beyond the scope of what we're doing. But stay tuned for Story Freedom, next week, right? We'll go there further in Story for you. So thank you so much. Beautiful. All right. Anything bubbling up wanting to be said before we take next steps? All right. Let me just think for a moment. Yeah. Here's what I want to do. I just want us to have a 4-minute time, because we've been drawing a lot of threads together, and then adding onto them. And it's a lot. And remember how we can only hear one thing. And there's a really important place that I want to go to next. So I want to give you a chance to articulate, to actually have it come out of your mouth, right? So, you know, three things that have mattered to you in what we've shared, because it comes from, a hop skip through the last couple of weeks. And then we've built more things on top of it. Just this piece that I shared with you about writing and coffee can be life-changing. And we did that in a few minutes, right? So we're going to take, so you can break you up into three rooms, and you'll divide the time that you have. So it might be a group of two, might be a group of three. Divide the time equally. And all you're going to do is just articulate your ahas. Pick one or two or three of them. You go one and go deep dive, like Heidi going, oh, geez, ideal client at the beginning of the day. And then she would unpack all of that, right? Or it might be, I saw this about, about writing and coffee. And then it made me realize this about my big self. And then I was wondering about this. And we talked about, why most entrepreneurs fail to connect with their larger purpose. And I realized I've done this in this part of my company. I don't know what your ahas are. I'm just making it up, right? So divide the time in half. Let's give you 5 minutes, all right? divide the time in half, use your full time when it's your turn. When your time is over, nothing bad will happen if you stop mid-sentence, right? Well, and I had this big aha, and somebody else's turn, jot down the word that'll help you remember and then listen to them, right? You can go to that after our day today. So making sense, you're just sharing ahas, just unpacking what you've heard. So we have room for more because we've got a really great piece coming up right after this, all right? Make sense? Okay, so let me divide up the rooms. Let me see. The one with the darkest top on goes first. The one with the lightest shirt on is the timekeeper. And you have 5 minutes. All right, so divide it up. Give yourself a couple extra minutes, you know, or not a couple extra minutes, but if it should be, you know what I'm saying? You'll figure it out. Don't want to micromanage that. All right. Let me see. Okay. It should work. All right. Have fun. I will see you in 5 minutes. Bye-bye for now. Remember to join the room. And welcome back. Welcome back. I would love to hear what happened in one or two of the rooms. So what opened for you? Either something you articulated, something you heard? Just a minute on this to consolidate what we've been doing to here. Heidi, thank you.
Well, I had the privilege of being paired with Marie, and mind blown. 2 minutes with time to spare. That just a story, she said, has a single point of focus. So does life have a single point of focus. And I even got to ask her what hers was. And she said, to awaken. Which of course made me want to cry, but I was so busy laughing, I didn't cry.
Beautiful, Heidi. Thank you. What we're doing has profound effects, not just on the stories we're telling, not just on our businesses, but on our very lives. We're actually listening to the deepest level of what's going on here. Whether we feel purposeful or not, whether we're on point in our lives or not, whether we get to the end of our lives and we go, yes, I came here to do what I meant to do or not. Stories have that power. Our lives have that power. Beautiful. Thank you, Heidi. Love it. Let's hear one more. What was opening in your room? What's opening for you now? It's really funny. I saw you, Anna Maria, and I saw Dawn. Dawn, you were on the verge of it, and Anna Maria was right there. I was watching you both bubbling with this. Anna Maria.
I think it was very, very interesting to hear Deborah's and Diane's ahas and how I think it's really a never-ending improvement of oneself with the stories and with life. And I was thinking, you think you have come up with something, and there's so much more that will come.
Next level. What's possible now? Oh, this thing that I thought was the ceiling, that's actually the floor for this next journey, this next opportunity, this next level of who I know myself to be. Beautiful. Thank you. I love it. Anything else bubbling up, wanting to be said from your room or from what's opening in you now? I saw you, Dawn. Was there something you wanted to say, or was it just processing inside?
It is really about the process. We were talking about the process is the product. And I came to the community because of the community, because I'm going through something and I know I'm going through something and I needed the community. And through this process, I found what my next or a higher level purpose in my next business. I didn't even know that was going to happen.
We come for one thing, we end up getting something so much deeper. And when you say the process equals a product, what I want to make sure that people hear is like, those are two different things. But when we stay with the process, we end up with so much better product anyway. Get our eye off of that, and that ends up being the result anyway. But we stay with the process. We stay here. We stay with the love of the creation, right? And in a sense, that's what you did. It's like, oh, the love of the creation, the community is so powerful. It's so beautiful to be in this community. Oh, and I find my purpose in my business as I stay with what is, right? There's something a little bit like, for me, like staying with that breath in Shavasana. Just stay there. I just stay there. And a baby tree pops out, you know, like, right?
And the clarity that yes. I wanted clarity. And I feel like I have gained the clarity. But keep it simple. Pick that one point or that one pointedness, that focus on the breath. And it will become clear.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And you can see it's another layer of why Shavasana is so powerful. It's like, just the breath. I'm only focused here. And you see how that translates? I've never had the opportunity to make this point so strongly before. So Dawn, thank you for making that opening, because, you know, I return to the breath. It's just the breath. It's only the breath. Over here, my story is just about this. It's only about this. It's a habit of thought and mind and way of being. And like Maria said earlier too, it's like, oh, that's our lives. So that one pointedness, there are more layers of why we do Shavasana as well. It's going to change on multiple levels what we do when we walk out to speak to somebody, when we're crafting our story for stage or wherever it be. Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. All right. Oh, I'm just going to mute one of the lines because I'm just hearing a little bit of echo here. Okay. Thank you. Beautiful. I love it. Anything else bursting to be said? All good? Okay, truly excellent work, you guys. Really, really. I love the way that you're not just taking this at that surface level, you're hearing the deep resonance of this and how much this matters, not only for that story that I'm going to tell on stage, but like for all levels of our, and not even just for my company, but all levels of my beingness, right? That it's tapped into that level. You guys, amazing work. Beautiful. All right. I said we had something special coming up, and I wanted to make sure you still had attention power. You're still here with me, just checking your faces. You look like you are. I know it's a lot moving. So I was like, well, do I have room to, if you have room for something more, raise your hand. Like, can you still, you've still got, okay, fantastic. It's like everybody I can see. Fantastic. All right. So as I said, Anna Maria, we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. So if Anna Maria's going, oh, it's me. Oh, it's not quite yet. In just a couple of minutes, because I want to set up taking a look at Anna Maria's U-shaped story. So again, Anna Maria, with huge thanks for sharing your story so that we have your story to play with. And we're going to both hear its beauty and then see how to take that to the next level. And just before, I'm going to actually have Anna Maria read her story. And then I'm going to give some suggestions and we'll see what happens when we start to play with it. Remember, like the handout that I give you, just play with it like clay. Like, what if it's over here? What if it's low? What if I, and I let it be a process, right? So I want to give you a couple of more than suggestions, tips. These are not the right words, but I'm looking for like how to listen. Profoundly how to listen. I'm going to have Anna Maria share her story. And I think I'm going to have her read it twice. It's not long. And you will gain so much from this, not only about your U-shaped story, not only in the compassionate and interested listening to her story, because as we listen to other people's stories, we get to craft our own. We can't hear anybody else's story. We're never going to be able to craft our own. So I'm going to have her read it a couple of times. The first time, just listen. Just pay attention. Just listen to her story. See what you hear. And as we're doing this, you're going to learn keys about how to respond to a piece of writing, like a crafting of a story. And you're not going to do this with Anna Maria, only I am going to respond. But I want you to have the practice of how you would do that. So you're engaged in it and actually doing it, even though you're not going to verbalize it. Make sense? because then you'll know how to respond to somebody else's writing, and which is the same as how to respond to your own. All right. So first time, just listen. The second time, you can write continuously while she's speaking. And just this very same that we've been doing in our gathering together, like from the first class in this series, notice where you follow the piece, where you're following her, and where you feel confused, or where your attention is focused and where your mind wanders. We do that with mine. We do that with other people's stories. This is really powerful to do that. Just notice that in yourself and jot it down. Oh, that piece, you know, oh yeah, I'm right with her. Oh, that, I just drifted a little bit. Without judgment, just notice it, right? This piece, this is not going to go anywhere except for your practice skill in listening. And then forget about technical language. You know, as you're doing that, write directly about how you feel and what you observe in yourself, because it's a process about you. You know, Heidi might be going, oh, when she was talking about the Christmas tree, which she doesn't, somehow my attention wandered. And don't worry about technical language. I think it was that image, or I think it was that, even though that language can be really helpful, don't worry about that. Like, just get it down in that gut level. Make sense? And when that red shoe slipped into the water, there isn't a red shoe that slipped into the water, but I was riveted, you know, like you could just jot it down, right? If you want, you can even put a plus and minus on your page or whatever you want to jot that down, right? Remember that our editors are strong. If you were, which you won't, if you were responding, just remember that our editor, that voice inside us, is strong. We want to help uplift this person. I've been doing this for many years. Hopefully I will do this well. I'm a person too. I'll do my very best to do this. You'll watch me doing it. And it's a skill that I've built over 30 years, right? But just remember that our editors are strong. Sometimes all it takes is like, well, I loved everything, but that one thing that really sucked, that could destroy somebody's writing for like the next 10 years. And we were just being playful, maybe even with that word. Maybe we were just going like, oh, it sucks for me when that I bump into that. And then all they heard, and then their spirit goes crashing down. And we might even technically improve the writing. I watch this happen at the university all the time, and people's souls got destroyed. Like, what's the point? Right? So remember that the editors are strong. So the place that I want to land on is, you know, what stays with you? What's strong in this piece? And when we can tune our ear to what's strong in it, then we can build on that. And it's really good to use, you know, I think, I feel, I wonder language, so they can stay in control of their own words. Or, you know, when you're talking about the tree, I couldn't concentrate as well. It's about me. Maybe I just lost concentration. Maybe it was the best part, you know. But then when you said how the sunshine fell on her shoulders, it brought chills, you know, right? So that's all really simple. And when you actually give feedback, which you won't, and I keep saying that because it's a delicate process. Working with somebody else's words is a delicate process. I want to convey that very strongly, right? But when you do give feedback to each other here in this circle or elsewhere about writing, which you won't today, but if you decide to get together and you want to help each other, you can focus just on these three things. What's strong? What stays with you? Start there. Maybe one thing you'd play with, and can you hear the language I'm using? I might play with this. Not that's wrong. Pot. It's like a piece of clay. We don't say, well, that, you know, with that pottery, the left side of it is wrong. It's just like, how about if you tried shaping it like this? What do you think? Right? What's strong? What stays with you? One thing you play with, and then ending on what's strong. So that's what that person hears. And if you hear me breaking any of my own rules, I might have been doing this for a long, long time. And what I'm most interested in is that Anna Maria, here's the end result that we want. The end result is, and again, our editors can kick up a fuss and get in the way. Our aim is to leave the person with concrete ways to improve their work with things that they know are really beautiful in that work and that they get excited to do it. So it's both craft and with heart. And if you've been in any kinds of writing circles where something very different than that has happened, because it happens profoundly and a lot, Marnie, I'm looking at you because I would go, I know that you would know about this. It's just can be soul destroying, but that's not on my court, not on my watch, not what happens here. And if that ever does happen, if you feel discouraged or whatever, like, means I made a mistake and it's my bad, not yours. And just come back with me about it. And means I made a mistake. You've done nothing wrong. Make sense? All right. So that's a crash course in responding to writing. I would spend whole semesters with people in how to do this, right? I did write a guideline because one of my students, it was an early student in this community, asked me to jot this down. And I do have it. So I think it's called Responding to Manuscripts. I wrote it many years ago. And so if you want that, just ask me for it. And I'll make sure that you gain access to that. It basically says in more detail what I just said right now, right? So you're not going to give her that feedback, but I want you to be listening with that ear. So you train your ear even as she speaks. So we're actually doing two things at once. I'm training you in how to listen. And then we're actually going to play with Anna Maria's piece and see how to play with a U-shaped story, see it strengthen, and then make it stronger. Make sense? Okay, Anna Maria, I know that was a long time to wait because it's like, oh, it's my stuff, right? How are you feeling, Anna Maria? You good? Okay, awesome. And what I think I'm going to do is I have your piece here, except I've got the wrong page up. Give me one second. Okay, let me see. I want to put yours up on the screen so they can follow along with you, because for some people hearing it is harder, and then I can take a look at it at the same time too. So I'll put it up on the screen. All right. And so have I got the right one? I think I do. Except you're seeing my background. Oh, that's me having fun ziplining. Need to see that. Here's Anna Maria's U-shaped story. So if you can, wait, I want to make sure I can see all of you too. Can I see all of you? Well, I see her U-shaped story. Yes, okay. So if you can see her U-shaped story, nod your head. You can, okay. So Anna Maria, would you please read? And remember when she's reading, and then it's a practice of trained attention too, because words are so powerful, and you could hear like it, Anna Maria put her soul into this, right? It takes work to create. And so how do you want people to listen to you? Be fully present here with Anna Maria just to receive her words. Okay, Anna Maria, go ahead. Thank you.
Dr. Bishop, may I read from the screen?
Sure you can, yeah, for sure. I will scroll down when we get to the...
Yeah. I am experiencing the best connection and partnership with my horses than I ever have before. I can truly listen now, know exactly how they're feeling, anxious, scared, painful, unsure. I clearly understand what they need and how to help them change to being more relaxed, confident, willing partners in a world of competition. As it was with Romeo, a very big, black, handsome Dutch Warmblood gelding, who taught me that when I would just whisper to him after going through some grand exercises and he was able to listen, he was ready to go to the show ring, being calm, confident, and willing partner for his rider. Or Nanu, a very powerful Warmblood gelding that does jumpers and had thrown his rider many times, but refusing to jump, sending her to the ER with concussions. He is a very confident and safe jumper now. It took Nanu some time of playing with different kinds of obstacles for him to become more confident and trusting, and for us to really listen to what approaches he needed most. Of course, he also loves his rewards. But it was not always like that. There was a time where I thought that competition was winning, and winning was the most important thing to prove that I was good enough. I still care very much for the well-being of my horses, but I was missing important and valuable information from my horses. As it happened at a very prestigious competition with a young horse that I was riding, I could feel that the horse was not feeling right. I was not able to connect. The body felt tense and very tight, but I did not listen. I felt a lot of pressure because the owners had come to see her in the competition and it was very expensive to enter. The young horse reared twice. The second time she fell over backwards on top of me in the middle of the competition. She rolled over on me. As she got up, she kicked me. Luckily, we were both fine. I just had some bad bruises, but we discovered that the young horse had arthritis in her neck. With the pressure and the stress of the competition, it became painful and she became dangerously reactive. there were a few years where I did not have many horses that I could compete with. I was mostly out of high level competition. I suddenly had horses that came to me with different physical, emotional, and mental issues. I needed to get curious and learn different approaches to be able to help them recover physically, mentally, and emotionally. Those years that I really did not compete were life-changing for me as I was secretly developing my system that focuses solely on the well-being of the horses, as my vision and my goal is to help better the lives of horses in the world competition, helping them to get confident in themselves. As I'm also helping people learn and practice these approaches that are serving me so well now. I am empowering and teaching people to get to the horse's heart by moving at the speed of trust. It takes time, understanding, empathy, knowledge, and lots of patience to earn a horse's trust, to prove to our horses that we are trustworthy leaders. We can bring our horses to our dreams of competition or riding for pleasure or just being with them, to truly form a great partnership with our horses by listening, respecting, and understanding their nature is very empowering indeed.
Thank you, Anna Maria. Take just 30 seconds and jot down your initial impressions. Whatever comes to mind, just jot that down. It's only going to be for you. I'm not going to give this to Anna Maria, just for you. Finishing up that last thought. And then putting your pen down just for a minute, so I know you're done with that. You're ready to listen again. You will pick up your pen in just a second. Just so I know you're with us. Okay, so then we'll have Anna Maria read a second time. And this time, and again, if you want to put down plus and minus, and it's just like, oh, I'm paying attention. Oh, I'm not. Oh, I love that point. Oh, I didn't, my mind drifted over here, or here I'm, it's really clear. Oh, here I'm confused. So it can be helpful to put in columns if you want. And again, this is only just for you to practice listening. Oh, that really stayed with me. That really stuck out. So just notice it's about your experience, what you're experiencing as she reads. And Anna Maria, are you okay if they do that? I didn't even ask you, but I asked you to do this. Yes. Okay, good. Thanks. All right. Take two.
I am experiencing the best connection and partnership with my horses than I ever had before. I can truly listen now, know exactly what they're feeling. Anxious, scared, painful, unsure. I clearly understand what they need and how to help them change to being more relaxed, confident, willing partners in a world of competition. As it was with Romeo, a very big, black, handsome Dutch warm-blood gelding who taught me that when I would just whisper to him after going through some grand exercises, he was able to listen. He was ready to go in the show ring, being calm, confident, and willing partner for his rider. Or Nanu, a big, powerful, warm-blood gelding who does jumpers and had thrown his rider many times by refusing to jump, sending her to the ER with concussions. He is a very confident and safe jumper now. It took Nanu some time of playing with different kinds of obstacles for him to become more confident and trusting, and for us to really listen to what approaches he needed most. Of course, he also loved his rewards. But it was not always like that. There was a time when I thought that competition and winning was the most important thing, to prove that I was good enough. I still care very much for the well-being of my horses, but I was missing important and valuable information from my horses. as it happened at a very prestigious competition with a young horse that I was riding. I could feel that the horse was not feeling right. I was not able to connect. The body felt tense and very tight, but I did not listen. I felt a lot of pressure because the owners had come to see her in the competition and it was very expensive to enter. The young horse reared twice. The second time she fell over backwards on top of me in the middle of the competition. She rolled over on me and she got up. She kicked me. Luckily, we were both fine. I just had some bad bruises. But we discovered that the young horse had arthritis in her neck. With the pressure and the stress of the competition, it became painful and she became dangerously reactive. There were a few years where I did not have many horses I could compete with. I was mostly out of high-level competition. I suddenly had horses that came to me for different physical, emotional, and mental issues. I needed to get curious and learn different approaches to be able to help them recover physically, mentally, and emotionally. Those years that I really did not compete were life-changing for me as I was secretly developing my system that focuses solely on the well-being of the horses, as my vision and my goal is to help better the lives of horses in the world of competition, helping them to get confident in themselves. As I am also helping people learn and practice those approaches that are serving me so well now, I am empowering and teaching people to get to the horse's heart by moving at the speed of trust. It takes time, understanding, empathy, knowledge, and lots of patience to earn the horse's trust. To prove to our horses that we're trustworthy leaders, we can bring our horses to our dreams of competition or riding for pressure or just being with them. To truly form a great partnership with our horses by listening, respecting, and understanding their nature is very empowering indeed.
Right. Thank you so much. Just going to stop sharing for a minute. Can we just, I should let you finish writing, look up, right? Whatever you've got down, just trust that. And can we give Anna Maria just a round of applause? I mean, actually reading your work out, it takes courage, right? So thank you for that, Anna Maria. Thank you. How did that feel reading it out first?
I was very nervous, but I was remembered to breathe. I was trying to think. I was relaxing a little bit more towards the end.
Good. Yeah, it's empowering sharing our stories, you know? And it can be scary too, right? We were going to add something else?
Yes, that he felt, I felt very proud.
You should.
Yes.
You should. Can you hear the work that has gone into crafting this story? Well done. You talked about, or at the beginning of the class, you talked about your struggle in articulating your story, and I can feel the work that you did for this. And I did my own. I was doing the very same things that you guys were doing, and it'd be hard to see on my page. There was one thing that I wanted to, like, I put an arrow over here because one thing that I wanted to comment on, but like, here's my page, and like, here's all this like stuff that I love, and I had to make more room over here, stuff that I love, right? And remember that we train our ear for what we love when we listen to In Shavasana, right? We train our ear, and I just, as you were reading out loud, Anna Maria, I'm just like, wow, like I just felt so proud of you. Like, listen to the details that you've added in the story. You can hear the overarching shape of the U-shaped story. And that's why, I mean, Anna Maria could take this story and give the story in front of an audience. And she would already be so far ahead of so many speakers. Can you hear it? How much heart they would hear in her, some of the things, you know, how much they would understand how knowledgeable she is, the specific examples that, you know, resonate in people's hearts. And it's like, the horse did what? And then that this is deep knowledge, deeply won, that she went away for a few years to really investigate, like all that in a story. I think it took, what, four, was it 3 minutes to read it? I don't know. It's not very long. How much she could connect with the audience, how much they would learn about her in a story in 3 minutes, instead of like telling them, well, I studied here and I did that and all these facts that we think people care about, right? So that's the very first and most important thing I want to say, like, well done, keep going. That is the most important thing I could say, all right? Let me see, do I want to open it up to anything else? No, I don't. So then what I want to do is, okay, well, how do we take this and take it further? She's done great work. But remember, it's a process and we can always do, there's always more, there's always that next level. And when we understand the craft of how our you know, our writing and our stories work, we can take it to the next level. And sometimes it's something as simple as, are we focused on an 8-track tape or a wedding or a ring, right, from 2 weeks ago? And where's our focus? Are we focused on, you know, do we even know the power of our story and how its theme, where it fits in with something else? So the more we understand about craft, the more we can take it further. So Anna Maria, how are you feeling? Are you feeling, and I want to check in with her. This is also, I'm showing you processes we're doing this. I want to check in with you because like, it's like, Michelle, I read that, but I'm just feeling, you know, the dog is sick. I'm feeling, you know, awful today and I can barely think and I'm so nervous about the story. I would approach what I'm going to say next very differently. And if she's going, I really want to make this as strong as possible. I want to serve people. I'm going to give different kinds of feedback. And there's room for all of them at different times, but I'm going to care for the person first because it's the person who's going to build the story, who's going to build the company, who's going to build the life. Am I making sense? Fantastic. Everyone's hearing that. All right. So Anna Maria, how are you feeling about hearing some other feedback that can help you take that to the next level?
I would love it to take it to the next level.
Yeah. Did you believe her? That was like 100% aligned. I totally heard that, right? And so here's what I did. And I've never done feedback exactly this way before, but I tried this out and I put some things in different colors so you could see it. So I hope it works. Again, this is, even though I've been doing this for many, many years, I did it this way just because this is how it came to me and we'll see how this works, all right? I thought this way you'd be able to follow it. And it's a little bit color-coded and I put my words right in her text and I want to be able to say it and also let you see it so that it might be easier to follow my words. All right, so there's her story and then here's what I did. Here it is. I added things, all right. I added some things. So I'm just going to go through this from the beginning and it's the words that are in yellow that are mine and these green pieces, I truly, this is green means go, right? I love this piece. And then with the blue parts, I'm making some suggestions. And sometimes it's just about like, it's like Anna Maria might be going, oh, wow, it's a suggestion. It's just, it's not about, even about the content. It's like, oh, I suggest you move it somewhere, right? So, you know, so that's how the colors came to my mind, right? So like I said at this opening, and I'm actually going to, I like it so much, I'm going to reread it. I love it in Anna Maria's voice, but I'm going to read it to you, right? I love this opening. I'm experiencing the best connection and partnership with my show of horses I've ever had. I mean, isn't that already an object of desire for people? Fantastic. That's that she's got the U-shaped story, right? This is how it is. I can truly listen now, know exactly how they're feeling, anxious, shared, painful, scared, painful, unsure. I clearly understand, but she's not going to read it like this. Hers is much better than mine, right? I'm going through it quickly. I clearly understand what they need and how to help them change to be more relaxed, confident, willing partners in our world of competition. Can you see how much she's packed into a couple of sentences there? This took work. Remember I said that like writing takes time. We can do it right off the cuff on the spot. It also takes time to craft and Anna Maria's put in the work here. This took a lot of who she is, what she's doing, you know, where her work intervenes, what their pain is, what the possibility is. All in the first couple sentences of her describing her now. And then, and here's a piece that comes up in different places as I was listening to this piece. Remember that people can't hear two things at once. Anna Maria, you've done a good job on the theme. It's there, but always we can take it further to know more and more and more what it is that we're saying. And it's clear in our own minds, but then what has got to the page? So that's where I said, do you see where I said, you know, add and it gets results. The reason I added that is connected with one of my comments. Let's see if I can find it later on. And this is a piece about how theme works really actually on the court, right? And it's this piece. Can you see with my cursor when I circle here? Does that show up for you guys? Okay. It's this piece here. And I'll come back to it when we get to this part of it. But the question that I had, and I was trying to think of being one of your listeners as the people who work with horses and so on, right? Not just my own ears, but somebody in that position. One of the questions I have is like, well, and again, they might not be where you, they're not where you are. They're at an earlier stage. And because you talked about competition, it's like, well, is this still something that I can win with? You know, like we got to get down to those very basic levels, right? Mm-hmm. And if people want to win, so do people still win when they do this? Mm-hmm. But if myself and your listeners, I'm wondering if it's, if I'd feel that either I can take care of my horse as Anna Maria does, or I can win. Now I know that's not true, but they might not, right? Mm-hmm. So what are they going to be hearing? I want to care for my horse, but then I'm not sure if I'm going to win. So maybe I need to look elsewhere. So from that piece, you could be, it's really strong opening. You've got so much laid out, but it's like, I want to know, because you can only say one thing. Remember, only one theme. And we think that we've got one theme, but we can make it even tighter. So can you hear this? It's either say clearly that when you do this, you win more and you feel great about it.
Okay.
And you'll find some story that will land that. And even if you are so heart-centered, it's like, it's really not about that. It's really not about that. But they're concerned about winning because you work with people who are in competitions. They're going to want to know that, right?
Yeah.
Or, and your message could be either one of these things right now. And two themes, they can't hear you as well, right? You could be saying, when you do this, you're going to win more and feel great about it. Or you might be saying, guys, stop trying to win and enter a different world where you don't compete. Because our horses are more important. We shouldn't, some people in horse businesses, like, we shouldn't even be riding them. We should only be in a relationship with them and learn from them. And so we need to know where your stake is in the ground. We need to know what you stand for. If you're getting, does that make sense to you, Anna Maria?
Yes.
And it's just what it reminds me of. This is an on the court for your business example of where Marnie was. It's like, it comes up in us. You saw it even in me. It happens to us, but then we can go back and craft it. Marnie's going, oh, look. And I saw in her eyes that love hurts, but really it's worth it because she so wants to say that. She wants to say two things at once because it's so much in her heart. And so your heart is so much with the horses that it lands a little bit more on, we're going to take care of the horses. But people, even good-hearted people, I want to take care of my horse. Oh, but I know that that's not how to get there. So I want to work with Anna Maria, but I can't because I got to win this trophy, do this thing, right?
Yeah.
That one thing alone could make a huge difference. If you're and I'm seeing lots of nods in the room, you're hearing it, right? And it doesn't take very much, right? I'm experiencing, so it might look something like, I'm experiencing the best connection, partnership. I can truly listen now. I know exactly how they're feeling. I clearly understand what they need and how to help them change to be more relaxed, confident, willing partners in our world of competition. And I got to tell you, when you've got a relaxed, confident, and willing partner, you get results. Like, it doesn't have to be complex, right? And all of a sudden people go, okay, that's, you know, I'm good about that. And I know that you're going to teach them to want more refined results, perhaps. But is that making sense, Anna Maria? And is that you get to decide what you want to say, but I think that you're saying that, hey, because you have enough about in our world of competition. I don't think that you're saying that, hey, do this. And even if you come in last, it's okay. Even though you might even feel that, you're saying when you do this, you also are going to get results. Am I right about that? You tell me. Only I can't tell you your theme, but I'm suspecting what it is.
Well, yes, sorry. You have results. I think the people that I'm trying to get geared towards, my idea clients are the people who, yes, will go to the competition, but they will feel that even if they did not win the blue ribbon, they had a great connection with the horse, a great ride.
Right. Absolutely. And so you can, this is kind of next level in story and how we put this together, but how do I say this? One of the ways you can do that, if you added that piece about results, like I said, would that feel out of integrity for you to say that? Would you feel like I'm really saying something that I don't want to say? Because then you shouldn't say it. Because let me just finish my thoughts, that you can say, and boy, when you have that, you really get results. And then when you return, remember the U-shaped story, when you return to it, you can return to it and say, you know, I know you said you get results, and yes, and whatever you can place in terms of results that soothes them to make them feel like they get results, because they're still earlier on, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, you can, whatever it is, win competition, place well, enter the things that you know, whatever it is in your field, right? And all that matters. And I'm glad that that happens. But the real results that I'm the happiest about is this. So it leans into your ideal clients, but it just still says that main theme of you can, when you can truly listen to your horse, it changes their lives and yours. See, and this is like a process versus product thing, right? Because they still so want that product that you have to give them, like, point to them a little bit, otherwise that will happen.
Yes.
When I offer this course, for instance, I don't say, listen, you're going to fall in love with the process of writing. Nobody cares. You're going to have a story that you can tell. That's what people care about. But then I'm going to tell you, you need the process, right? Do it make sense?
Yeah.
So would you feel aligned in adding that part about, and you get results, or does it feel out of integrity for you?
No, I would love, you know, I maybe didn't really truly think about it when I wrote it, but yes, I mean, when I go to competition, you want results, but you want results in a different way. You're not thinking of the horses will be in first and then go win, you know, win the Olympic Games if you want, but yes, results are important. And I think results are important for people because they do want to compete and they do want to win. And they want to love their horse at the same time.
Right. And see, this is a different idea. It depends. It's like Heidi understanding a revolution in evolution in her ideal client, because your ideal client, you will call to different people with different results or different, you know, what your life is now piece. Right. So if you said something like, I connect with my horse, truly listen, all these things that you said so beautifully. But it wasn't always this way. I used to go into competitions, and I will tell you, I will never go in a competition or be associated with anybody in a competition. I don't think that's what you're saying, ever again, because I think that rule is nasty and brutal and we should shut it down. You know, like, that is a different ideal client than, hey, now I have the best partnership and I truly listen and it feels so great. And if it's in the world of competition and we get results too, and how you name what those results are, you know, it's like something tangible for them, right? And you get results. But it wasn't always this way. So then the shape of the story would be like, I used to just drive and drive and drive for the competition. And where I would like the story to go so that we can clearly hear the U-shape is, you know, now I have this. It's kind of like I have it all, right? The all that they're looking for. But in very specific ways, like you've outlined here. But it wasn't always this way. I was so driving toward, you know, so driven to win the competition that X bad thing happened. So much so that I didn't even compete for years. I was almost out of the game. Funny thing is, during that time, and yours kind of sort of has a shape of this, but I would like to strengthen that shape, right? Funny thing is, when I stepped away, and I don't know why you stepped away from competition. Was it because you had to, because you were, you know, like whatever happened, like as I stepped away, I started learning more. And then I returned. Not only did I have so much better, like, and then this is, that goes back to the happy now, right? Not only did I have such greater connection with my horse, but we, not only did I win the championships that I used to care so much about, but I have this amazing relationship with my horse that I wouldn't give up for the world. So you can land on that side, but you're saying like, otherwise, I'm not sure. I feel like there's two different themes.
Okay.
Yeah, you heard what I said, right? If you guys got that, raise your hand. Making sense what I'm saying about this. So this is nuanced work. Thank you for that. All right. So that's the piece up here. And then this blue part, I love these examples. Like real life examples didn't come alive. It's like, oh, real horses. You could hear the work that she does. And this was great. I would tend to move these ones down, try it out, play with it like that. You might go, no, I wanted one of them still in the beginning or whatever it is. But people need to know why they're listening to it. Here you've, this opening part is really to establish your credibility, right? And vulnerability too. It's like, but it's mostly really credibility. Like, wow, things are great for me right now. They really are. Mm-hmm. And you don't lie, but it's really true, right? These are the things that are happening. And then, but it wasn't always this way. So this is like a quicker credibility piece, but then it wasn't always this way. And this is where they are. And so you want to hear that, because they aren't ready yet to hear about the good things yet, because they aren't feeling good. So they once you've established your credibility, they may go, well, it's fine for her. She knows how to deal, but I don't know how to do any of that. They might not hear these beautiful stories of these of Nanu and Romeo as well. So with your case, I would tend to move those down. It's what I'm saying right here.
Okay.
So you want the emotional weight of it at the end of that. Here you've established credibility and you go, it wasn't always this way. Some bad stuff really happened. But, you know, and then as you get to the end, it's like, I'm so happy now that, let me see. I have horses like Romeo, who all I have to do is whisper to him.
Okay.
And he listens and he does, and he's calm, confident, willing partner. And then it doesn't even like, and I don't know enough about like what the outer world success is that you want to put in front of them. It, you know, I hear your heart. I haven't even heard like, well, I won this ribbon or I placed, you know, in this, or I was eligible for this competition, or what are some of those things that you could put in there that I'm not hearing yet in this piece? Something that people would go in your field, right, she knows how to do that.
So I need to put some results of my competitions.
Yeah, can you tell us some of them? And it could be, you know, like sometimes we think, well, I have to have won a ribbon. You know, often we think we have to have done this thing, otherwise people won't hear. It doesn't even have to be that. It could be, I've watched Lisa Nichols tell a story and she came in dead last in a swimming meet. And we are sure that she's the biggest winner, all right? This is how she tells the story, right? So you don't have to have, this is a really important point to you, you don't have to have this particular win to be able to say, and I get results. And, but we want to see that trajectory, like, from, you know, dead last in the little baby competition every single time, I managed to get to this big competition and I was so proud. Like it doesn't even tell how you placed me. Just see what I just did, right? So okay. Can you give us a couple examples of some results you could put in there and I can see, like, does that make sense? Would that work there?
Yes, competing in the South American Games in Chile, representing Ecuador in, I think it was 2015 or 14.
Oh, is that all?
I had a
stop there for a second. Like, don't you want to hear this in this story? It's so close to us, we can't see it. Thank you, Anna Maria, for sharing here. Like, oh my goodness, talk about credibility, right? Willing partners in our world of competition. And, you know, so and I found this to be so helpful. For instance, when I represented Ecuador in the South American Games, like, and they're like, tell me what you did. Right?
Yeah.
Give us another one. I mean, you don't need anything else, but give us one more because I cut you off. What else were you going to say?
I can continue with that, a little bit of that story because it's interesting, or I could, you know, say competing, just winning competitions with my horses, national competitions.
Oh, is that all? How many of you are interested in what she just said? These two things, raise your hand. Like, are you kidding me? They need to hear that. So willing partners in our competition. And that's been so amazing. I know that it's, and you can give it away to them because you don't, I know we don't want to sound boastful, right?
Yeah.
And I know that it's because of my, that I could hear my horse better, that it's my horse that took us to win national competitions and to, you know, you can give it away to your horse, which I know is how you think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it wasn't always that way. And then it can set up that before I was striving and striving to win the competitions and give us an example of when you lost horribly or whatever it is, you know, because probably in that time, and again, you're going to only tell the truth, but probably in that time, there was some time where you really, really were striving. And not only did you lose horribly, and I think it's over here with this, I love this term, by the way. So, but I just wanted to get to this. It was not always like that. There was a time when I thought competition winning was the most important thing to prove I was good enough. It was a great term, by the way. I love that, right? And then I still cared very much for the well-being of my horses, but I was missing important and valuable information from my horses. Do you see how that starts to slip from the U-shaped story? Because you still want to say, listen, guys, I was still a good person. Really, I was. There's some part of you saying that, right?
Yes.
So you have to let that go for the U-shaped story to work, right? And you don't say anything that's not right. There's many stories that are true, though. Like, is it about an 8-track tape or a wedding ring, right? Many stories are real and true inside. Choose one that's true. But you have to let yourself say, like, let go of the pieces about caring for the horses at that time. Or you could, if you're going to bring them in, they still have to fit the theme.
Okay.
The theme is of this piece of, you know, it's like these stories have little mini themes inside them too, beyond the scope of what I want to talk about here, but you can hear it easily offhand, right? Wasn't always like that. There was a time when I thought competition winning was the most important thing to prove that I was good enough. You only have to say things that say that. I did that. I did, you know, you can pick the pieces that you feel the least good about, right? Because you're being vulnerable. You're actually telling them, I did this and I did that. And then one day, and can't you hear me when I'm saying this? And I didn't even fill in the blank. But if Anna Maria did this and did that, you want to know about that, right? Whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And then one day, you know, it totally fell to pieces. And this story that you told was, I was at a really prestigious competition, and I could feel that the horse was not feeling right. I wouldn't emphasize that part of the story here.
Okay.
So I know you were a sensitive person even then, but you've learned since then. So you want to help people see the gap. You're okay. Here now. You were here before. So it's more like, I was at a very prestigious competition with a young horse I was riding. I just didn't have the training or whatever is also true. And I wasn't able to connect. I felt tense. I love this. I felt tense. I felt tight. I knew there was something more, you know, like keep that really vague. Don't emphasize that part. I knew there was something more, but I really didn't listen.
Okay.
I felt so much pressure because it's all about the winning, isn't it? And if you say it's all about the winning, isn't it? They're going to go, no, it's not. And I know she knows that it's not. And then you can tell them, even you can state the opposite and they'll go, you know, no, it's not. Oh my goodness. I hope she cares for her horse. And then, you know, oh no, she didn't. Right.
Yeah.
And then you say, I didn't listen. The owners were, the owners had come to see her. It was expensive to enter. I knew a lot was riding on this. That's how they're feeling. So you can even, you know, dive deeper into that. I thought it was all about the competition and boy, did it cost me. Like I'm slowing it down there. Right.
Yeah.
Young horse reared twice. The second time she fell over backwards on top of me in the middle of competition. Wow. Stop there. Slow that. You've done a beautiful job here. She rolled over on me. She kicked me. Luckily, we're both fine. This is too fast.
Okay.
Let them be there, you know? Mm-hmm. I got up. I was bruised. But not only was I physically bruised, I felt awful because I know I hadn't taken care of my horse the way I should have. You know, like just be real. Yeah. That's, right? Mm-hmm. You can come out and say it. And then she had arthritis It got worse. But had I paid attention?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Then you've got them, right?
Yeah.
And then I don't know why you came out of competition. And again, always tell the truth, right? But it's like, then I want to know after that, if it's true, like after that, like, and find the true story. I don't know what the true story is, but you do, but pull out the pieces like we've watched happening in these last couple classes. You know, after that, I didn't even have the heart to compete. Maybe that's what it was, or not if it's not true, but find the thing that is true. After that, and this, you know, or I just, you know, what? So why was it that you stopped competing?
I think truly was the universe was telling me I needed to learn different things with different horses. And so I got a lot of different horses.
I get it. And I think that's a real reason. But Okay. Maybe that's not what you knew at the time. Like at the time, did you know I'm going to stop because I'm listening to the universe? Is that how you felt at the time?
Not at the time, no.
Exactly. And who you were then and how you were thinking about it is who they are. They're going to see themselves through you. So you want to stay with how they're thinking. If you tell them the universe told me, too far ahead of them. It's like, so what did you think was going on at that time?
Honestly, I'm not sure, only because I was getting horses that needed help.
Okay.
More than high level dressage horses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you could say something like, because you can't, you know, you got to tell the truth, right? Of course. So it might be something like, I don't even know why I stopped after that. Maybe, and you can guess, like you're still telling the truth. Maybe I didn't even have the heart to write, only say what's true. Maybe I didn't even have the heart to ride in competition anymore. Maybe it's just I needed to learn something that I know I hadn't learned yet. See, I'm not saying universe, but it's too high, but like,
yes.
But all I know is that all these horses started coming my way that were broken, hurting, like my horse was in the competition. So that like takes it even further, right?
Yeah.
And I got so far from, you know, that area of competition that all they did was try to figure out how to put these horses back together again, something like that, right? I want to hear the clear arc of the story. But you know what happened? And they want to know what happened then, right? You were in competition, then you weren't in competition. What happened? One day, and was there one day that you got back into a competition, or one day, what brought you back into it? Or did you go back into it? Or was that kind of at the end of that?
Yeah, no, helping horses get confident and get better physically and mentally to be able to compete.
But why did you want to do that? Why didn't you just stay working with, do you see how like, I wanted you to all hear your area is not Anna Maria's, even if you work with horses, right? This is her own story, right? But this is how we mine, this is how we shape it. This is how we mine for the details so that people can actually hear. It's all making sense, right? Yes, I'm seeing deep nods. Good. Okay. So you went back. But why compete? Like you could just stay. I know it's not like that, but fixing broken horses. I don't want to say it like, I know it's not true. I know it's deep, much deeper than that, but why not just do that?
Oh, I just because I love competition. It's competition. Yes.
Yeah. So then the shape of the story, something like this, these wonderful things are happening, but it wasn't always this way. I couldn't even listen to my horse. And I knew something was wrong because they know that, right? I knew something was wrong and I didn't listen. You don't even have to say what you knew, and you know, and but there was so much pressure on it. They're going like, yes, it feels like that. Because this and that, all these pressures. And so I knew, but I didn't listen. And so, you know, and then this happened and it was horrible. And if it's true, and that was so horrible, and some other things happened to me, I left the competition. Or if that's not true, don't say that. But then you want to say, I don't even know what it was. Maybe it was, you could speculate. Maybe it was that horrible experience of being, you know, that frightened me. Maybe it was, only if you think that genuinely, it might be that. But all I know is that these horses started coming to me. And then you can say even more about that. At first, it was, you know, tedious. It was hard. I didn't want to be with these. I wanted to be out competing or whatever it was. Like, why is that place hard? Why was that place not good, right? And my heart longed for competition, but I just couldn't stomach it. Or I had done with that and I'm done with that world, right? So why is that place hard for you, right? And then, you know, I start working with these horses, and then I don't know what got over me, but I caught, you know, because if you don't actually know, but I caught that competition bug again. I had to be out there, you know, however you refer to it in the ring or whatever it is, or whatever you call it, right? In the field, in it, right? And but this time, having done that work, it was going to be different this time, right? And then I had this wonderful experience and this wonderful experience, and then you're going to be ready to hear those wonderful experiences, and that's where you pull these stories in.
Okay.
And again, it might not have been chronological, so I don't know if this was before or after kind of thing, right? Because you had that heart still before. But if this was after, great. If it wasn't after, you can still use that as part of your story.
Okay.
Because the way you would do it is something like, you know, now I feel great. Now I remember back to, you know, it was always inside me. I just didn't realize it and I didn't know how to access it. I remember Romeo who, you know. I'm glad it's easier to craft the story if it happened after, but we just work with the elements just as we were doing in day one to fit it, the U-shaped story, and always tell the truth. It's okay. And we're telling the story in a way that people can hear. All right, let me see. Is there anything else? The turn, trying to say two things. Did you understand what I was saying about trying to say two things? Like, yes, I will, you know, you can do this and you win versus you can do this, so you better stop trying to compete. Those are two different things. And you have to clearly land on the one, right? So we got that point. Okay. Powerful, powerful example. This piece is clearly the pain, right? But I'd love to hear about what's going on inside you as well. So here I hear about the arthritis part, but in her neck, but how did it make you feel? Because that is exactly how they're feeling when they're competing. And in their heart of hearts, I know something is wrong, but they ignore it and they go, oh, she knows me.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. We already talked about this. Why did you leave competition? Okay. My system that focuses solely on the well-being of horses. And here's what I talked about. Do they win when they do that? Let me see. So I'd like kind of like another turn here that says, this thing happened to me and that's why I went back to competition, right? So it was hard working with these horses and I didn't want to be there. And I really, my heart longed for competition. If that's not true, find something like that, because we need to know that that's the bottom part of the story. And let me see. Da, 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 da. Yeah, so you move your examples here. As I'm also helping people learn and practice these approaches that are serving me so well now. Like, for instance, this is a natural place where that fits in.
Okay. Right?
And you can even, you can start with one of those things, like the South American Games, goodness, or winning a bunch of competitions. Take the one that you know people will give you credibility first. Like, willing partners in our world of competition. I'm so grateful to my horses for taking me to X championships, you know? I know it's because we partner so well. You've given it to the horse and you've named it. And then at the end, you can turn and even crescendo, like bigger splash at the end, go, you know, and now that I know these things, you know, it's serving me so well now. I had this horse, that horse, it's amazing. And I'm so proud to even have represented Ecuador in the South American Games. You say it's sort of like offhand, you know, you say it offhand, but it's really big for them, right? And I represented South America represented Ecuador in the South American Games. Let me see. I know that it takes time. This is great, you know, to prove our horses that we're trustworthy leaders. I love how you've explained what the speed of trust means, because they don't know what that means, but you explain it here, all right? Mm-hmm. And I love that you connect it with leadership, because they want to be leaders, right? So I assume, right? So this, we can bring our horses to our dreams of competition or riding for pleasure or just being with them. Even though you believe that and it's true, does it fit the theme?
Okay.
Can you hear it? Now that, yeah. Right? Like it's, they want competition, right?
They want competition, yeah.
They want to win the competition, and it depends where you pick them up on the trail. The more enlightened ones are going to want, you know, especially partnership with their horses, but they still, somewhere along the way, they still want to win. They want to be like you. They want to be able to achieve like you have, right? And so we can bring our horses to our dreams of competition and take care of them at the same time too, or more they take care of us. Can you see I've landed more on the theme now?
Yes.
So people will be able to hear it better. And again, riding for pleasure and just being with them, probably mm-hmm. material for a different talk. And we have to sometimes let go of our darlings, you know, you care so much about that, but for the U-shaped story to take its effect, unless you're saying, hey, stop competition, ride for pleasure instead, you know, then otherwise it doesn't fit in. Just like Marnie's, I want to say that love matters, you know, or it's important, but she had to let go of that darling and we have to let go of it here too. All right. Yeah. And then it's very empowering indeed. And I said to you exactly what end, if you had a video camera and took a film of the result, what would we see? For example, your examples above and why they matter could go here. And it might be, you know, some image of like something that people could see of when I was representing Ecuador in the South American Games. It was exciting when, and you do some external accolades that they'll, you know, identify with. It was amazing to whatever happens, you know, I don't, you know, about it, see the cheering crowds and to feel the roar of whatever. But what mattered most to me was, and then you are actually very humble, which you are anyway, it's natural to you, right? But really what mattered to me was seeing the gleam in my horse's eye or whatever it is. It's not this, but you know, like the to see the, you know, light in my horse's eyes when we connected and to know that we got there together or whatever. So you see, you get the external results, but you land on your what your ideal client's going to want. It's not just all about competition, all about the competition. All right. That was a super, super deep dive, but I wanted to give you guys, Anna Maria done such great work. And I hope that you're all seeing, and I'm seeing nods around the room. Yes. Can we give that, like Marnie is, another round of applause, Anna Maria.
Thank you.
Fabulous work. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle.
Yeah. Now, so first off, I want to check with everybody else. We're talking about horses here, but do you see how this translates to your work? And I'm seeing nods around the room, right? So it's just the same thing for your work. And I wanted to show how the shape of the story works, right? And it's the very same thing that we were doing Monday, but now we're, or Monday, 2 weeks ago, Monday, I'm thinking the first day, right? But now we're applying it in this particular way and for our business work, right? And then I want to check in. So was that nods around the room? Anybody not? And don't be afraid to go like, I don't really see, it's not related to mine. Anyone not? Heidi, go ahead.
It's totally parallel in many ways. My question though, I wasn't sure which point we were making about the better care I take for my horse, the more likely, the better they'll do in competition, or don't go there. Like the dancing in and out of benefit the horse, win at a competition. It seems like by definition, if you have a better relationship with the horse, you're going to win more. Is that not true? Like, is there a disconnect there? I wasn't clear.
Thank you. I love that. Okay. When we are doing our work, we're easily going to miss the obvious. We have to state the obvious. When one friend of mine was having trouble getting her master's in nursing finished, and I said, just start telling me about your work. And she said, well, there's that. I said, say that. She's like bored with it even, you know? And she's like, well, doesn't everybody know that? No, they don't. It's natural and normal to you. They don't know that, right? So you have to state what's obvious to you. And to give you an example, when I was writing 7 years ago now, Anatomy of an Empowering Story, like stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories. I wanted to stop there. One of my accountability partners said, you have to tell them that they can choose. I'm like, isn't that obvious? If there's an empowering story, aren't you going to choose it? You know? We can't see it though. No, you can choose. You have to know that you can choose and you have to choose it, right? It's so obvious to me that I wasn't even going to say that. You have to actually say it. And so so that's one thing. And then about the competition piece, it's because I'm looking at it through their eyes, and in their eyes and how they're probably disempowered. My guess is with your clients, they think, well, I really do want to take care of my horse, but I've got this, you know, exactly like we were describing in that middle piece. Well, I've got this competition and there's all this pressure and oh my goodness, my horse isn't doing very well. I don't feel very well, but I really have to compete. And so they're all a mess, right? And so you address how they're actually thinking. And if you don't do that, you're going to leave them in their either or world. Well, I guess I can take care of my horse. I'm going to have to give up my dreams of competition. Or I'm going to compete and I've got to look the other way and I feel so sick, you know? So because Anna Maria said right at the beginning, and if we look to the beginning of her of again, I'm experiencing the best connection and partnership. I mean, she lands on what's most important to her for right at the start with my horses, more than I ever had before. I can truly listen now, know exactly how they're feeling, anxious, scared, painful, unsure. I clearly understand what they need and how to help them change to being more relaxed, confident, willing partners in our world of competition. Do you see? Like if it's in a world of competition, it's a world of competition. She said that for a reason. She's not just training people to, and I'm not dissing that, but get healed by having a relationship with horses out in the field where we talk to them. That's great work too, but that's not her work. If it's in the world of competition, these people are interested in competing. Make sense? So that's why I'm saying address that, because otherwise it leaves them in their either or world. And I'm not saying two things. It's still one theme. I think that might be what you're getting at, Heidi, too. It's like the theme is that you can take amazing care of your horse. And when you do that, that's what propels you to the top. And it's not even about that. Like that's one idea, isn't it? It's not this over here and that over there. It's not a track and wedding. It's not love is hurts. And Marnie, we could have recreated her story to say love hurts, but it's worth it. But we weren't saying that. We were saying love hurts. So when we're saying love hurts, we got to say love hurts. And we can't plop on and it was worth it at the end. If she'd recrafted the story to say, listen, love hurts so much, but it's worth it. The emphasis in that story is, but it's worth it. And then those pieces would have fit in. Does that, it's a new, more nuanced level, but it's a great question. Does that make sense? Heidi, is that making sense? Okay, good. Really, really good. Okay. I wanted to return to Anna Maria. How does that feel when we've been doing this? You've done fabulous work. It's why we were able to do this. You're seeing, I hope you're seeing all these nods across the room. This takes work to get to where Anna Maria got. This is amazing work. And here's the way so that they can, you can turn the dial even further so they can hear you further as you remain in integrity, telling the story that is actually true. Don't, like I keep saying, don't, we don't like, we don't say, I quit the comp, I quit competing because I broke my leg, and I didn't break my leg, but I just make it up. I'm not saying that, right? I'm saying we pull the elements like we've been doing all the way along so that people can hear, so that we can help them. Anna Maria, how does that feel with how we played with your story? Because that's what I really care about. Because if it's like, wow, here's some great technical things you could do, but Michelle, I feel awful. That wouldn't be good, right? And then the honest answer, because I'm just a person doing this work.
No, I think I feel a lot more clear where I want to take the piece.
Good, 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 really good. And does it feel like you've been given, I mean, this was a very deep dive. It went to a really nuanced level. If you took even one of the pieces that we talked about, like just move those examples down to the bottom, try that, you know? And you could go, like I said, right at the beginning, you could go you could read this in front of an audience and they would hear you. Okay. This is already great work. This is how you take it to the next level so they can hear you even better, right? So does it feel like you have some tools to play with it now, or does it feel like, oh, Michelle is too much, or how are you actually feeling?
I have to think.
Yes, exactly. Good. That's an excellent response.
Yeah, I have to think and really look at the recording, and because I was trying to pay attention to what you were saying.
Yes. And
but definitely, a lot of think, a lot of thought. I like that because I do want to put it to the next level for sure.
Yeah, fantastic. And what I want to show you is that you're so welcome. Thank you for sharing this. Again, another round of applause for Anna Maria. That's really, really wonderful work. Thanks. Wonderful work. And you can see how we went from the first class where we're just talking about stories in general. Here's my story stem, and here's my theme. And now we're actually doing it on the court with material that really matters, because when we know why it mattered to us, you know, it's huge. And people go, oh, I'm like that too. I feel like that too. Maybe there's hope for me, and this is what worked for her. And I want to come and do the work with her in a couple of minutes. And then also, this is how testimonials work too. And that's beyond the scope of what we're going to do today. But Anna Maria talks to one of her clients, and they will have gone through this trajectory as well, right? Right now, they're both, you know, and maybe for somebody else, it was, they might have a different U-shaped story when they came to work with you. They might even start out going like, I just wanted to take care of my horse. And, you know, I wanted to care so much that I was always afraid to compete. And I always wanted to, but I could never compete. But now I compete and I'm doing well and I take care of my horse, but it wasn't always this way. I took care of my horse and I was a horse, you know, whisperer and so on, but I didn't, and this might be some of your clients too, I don't know, but I didn't know I could actually compete, and I was secretly wanting to do it, but I was always stopped because I thought I had to beat up on my horse to do that. And I would not cross that line. But then I worked with Anna Maria, and it was amazing because she taught me that I could be in that world of competition and still care for my horse even better now. Because as we worked so closely in the partnership of that competition, I understood her even more. And today, can you see, like, it's a related but not the same story. And once she understands that U-shaped story, now she goes out and talks to people. And in a moment, they hear what it's about. It attracts her ideal clients. It's going to repel her non-ideal clients. Once you go, well, that stupid relationship stuff with your horse, that's dumb. That's like, you know, you don't you understand that you got to drive to get there? They're going to be repelled by this in the way that we want them to be. They won't want to hear that because it's not your ideal client. They'll go, stop this namsy-pamsy stuff about caring for your horse. Like, just get to the, you know, you don't want to talk to those people, right? It's not your, send them to somebody else, right? Okay. So did we land it there for you, Anna Maria? And again, and the fact that you said, I've got to think about it, our stories require that thought, just like they did that first day, right? I know this has been a deep, deep dive and a long time before break. I probably have never taken a break this late, but I saw you all still here and I wanted to do this all in a piece with Anna Maria. So hope this was helpful to you. All right, so let's close this part and then we're gonna take, I know this is a deep dive, so we'll take like a, can you do with a 10 minute break? There's still more I wanna share with you before we go. All right, we'll close this part of what we've done with one or two or three words, something that represents your aha from this piece or anything that we've done today, so we can hear collectively where some of the ahas are, some of the openings in the class. And Anna Maria, perfectly, you happen to be up in my left-hand corner. So your first one or two or three words, something you've received or an opening, an aha from this work.
The freedom to grow.
Yes. Oh, so good. I do the work. I figure it out. I come to this part in my story and then I can grow. And it's also, can you see, is Anna Maria seeing what her work actually is even stronger? So she sees who she is, and that's that big self piece too, right? So it's growth in more than one way in the story and in our lives and how we understand what it is, how we're even serving people. Anna Maria, yes, thank you. Heidi.
State the obvious.
Yeah, thank you, yes. We miss it all the time. And so, you know, that's what makes my signature talk, for instance, so powerful. Stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering, and you could choose. If I just walked up to somebody in the street and told them that, they wouldn't care. But when I tell it in the way that I tell it, there's a huge aha, and it's very simple and very powerful. Just like what it takes work to get to the simple, like Anna Maria has done here. Really great. Marnie.
The simple single focus leads to the clear, impactful message.
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you. Deborah.
Own our story.
Thank you. That's right. You know, in the 5-point guideline that I gave you, like, this is working it. This is what it actually looks like on the court. Thank you. Exactly. Diane.
The nuances and the positioning of parts of the story make a big difference.
Yes, it does. Yes, you got it. And Dawn.
I'm going to stick with keep it simple.
Yes. We work for that simplicity. We saw us doing it right here. You guys got it. Fantastic work, everyone. We're going to take a 10-minute break. So at my house is 3:02. We'll come back at 3:12. I'm not even going to tell you what's coming up. It's just more great stuff. You are not going to want to miss it. Take good care of yourselves over that break. I will see you at 3:12. Thank you so much.